Boy, there are some shocking statistics about what nations believe in God more than others. And is it hate speech to wear a Jesus t-shirt?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There is a fascinating and very revealing report just published about a week ago on Christian Post, which country believes in God the most, the least. We're going to see what you think. I'm going to give you some survey questions today here on The Line of Fire. It's enlightening on many, many fronts. And some other news, outrageous, shocking. We'll talk it through today and bring you a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call to join in. Are you ready? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We also have a very important and unique special resource we're going to be offering later in the broadcast. So please be listening attentively. Again, the number to call to respond to my questions, 866-348-7884. It is a delight to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Monday is my day for musings, Monday's musings, whatever's on my mind after the weekend, things on my heart to talk to you about. And a lot of interesting stuff happening here in North Carolina with implications for the nation. I'll be talking about that in the second hour today. Okay, are you ready? I want to get your take on this. I'm going to list five different countries, and then percentages. Now, there was a survey that was recently released, a report, Beliefs About God Across Time and Countries. And I'm going to tell you first one country which had the highest percentage of people who know God really exists and have no doubt about it. And then the lowest percentage of people who said they don't believe in God at all. One particular country. I'm going to give five countries to you, all right? It was 84% of the people who said they know God really exists and have no doubt about it, and less than 1% of the people who said they don't believe in God at all. Here are the five countries. I want you to tell me which one is the number one country found in this survey to have the highest percentage of belief, people who say they're certain about God with no doubts, and the lowest percentage of those who don't believe. It's one and the same country. Is it Great Britain? Is it Japan? Is it America? Is it the Philippines? Is it the former East Germany? All right, you ready? Here we go again. The country with the highest level of people saying they know God exists, really exists, have no doubts about it, 84% of the country. And in that same country, less than 1% who said they don't believe in God at all. Take a stab. 866-34-TRUTH. Here are the countries again. Is it Great Britain? Is it Japan? Is it America? Is it Philippines? Is it the former East Germany? When you come on, you could tell me. Now, look, I sometimes we have special giveaways, all right? So we don't have special giveaways all the time. So just take a stab with your answer, 866-34-TRUTH, just to see if you get it right, and we'll have some discussion about this. In fact, I'll answer that on the other side of the break, and we'll bring you on the air to talk about it, all right? And then I want to talk about this case from Canada. Wow. Guy wears a Jesus t-shirt to school. Life is wasted without Jesus. And get suspended? Talk about it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, which country believes in God the most or the least, according to a recent survey, a report entitled Beliefs About God Across Time and Country? So we're starting here. This particular country has the highest percentage, 84% of the people say they know God really exists, have no doubts about it. Less than 1% don't believe in God at all. Is it Great Britain? Is it Japan? Is it the Philippines? Is it America? Is it former East Germany? And we'll start with Elizabeth in Gaithersburg, Maryland. What do you think?
I think it's East Germany.
Okay, former East Germany. And why do you say that?
Well, the very few people that I know from that part of Germany are like they call themselves agnostic or atheist. So it was my impression that the majority of people just have no knowledge of God right now.
Okay, so then why would they be at the top of the list as the most religious than the ones that are the most sure about God?
Well, to me, it's kind of an oxymoron, because at the same time, like the people that I know, some of them, or at least one that I know, has a child that is in a preschool, but it's a Catholic preschool. So
got it.
It's a
controversy.
So
all right, very interesting. Very interesting. All right, keep listening. That's good insight. Keep listening, and we'll give the answer momentarily. Thank you for that. Angie in Washington, D.C., what's your take?
Is this
Hello, Angie.
Me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I'd say the Philippines.
Okay, and why do you say the Philippines?
I am a nurse, and I was part of a program where we brought a lot over from the Philippines to be nurses here in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them were Catholic and loved God.
Got it. All right. Thank you, Angie, for weighing in. I want to get a few more calls, and then I'll give you the correct answer. Yao from Sterling, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, hello, Dr. Ross.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, good. So what's your guess?
Yeah, my answer is Philippines. Actually, I read a story about this a couple of weeks ago online. I did a search on Google for news on churches, and I came up on the story, and it actually said the Philippines, yes, was the number one country with
okay.
the most believers.
Got it. All right. So based on the story that you read, it pointed to the Philippines. Thanks, Yao, for weighing in. Let me grab a couple more. Daniel and Shirley, Long Island. Hey, Daniel, what station are you listening on?
WLIX.
All right, awesome, man. Awesome to have you on our WLIX family now. This is our sixth day. We started a week ago today, so great to have you as a listener, Daniel. What's your take?
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show. I enjoy listening to it.
Thank you.
I would also say the Philippines, because actually WLIX had I'm not sure who was on talking on the show, but they actually mentioned Philippines was the leading country in Christianity, or that they do believe in God. As the number
okay.
one country in the world, and that was on the radio station that I'm listening to.
So, all right.
All right.
Sounds good. We'll see if it's trustworthy, your information there. Thanks for calling in. Great to have you as a listener, Daniel. And let's grab one more. Ed in Brooklyn. All right, we lost Ed, so let's go to Deborah in Beaumont, Texas. What's your guess?
I think it's the East German one.
East German, and why do you say that?
I think that since they've been delivered, they would have more of an understanding of that God is real, you know.
Got it.
And that he would you know, be able to deliver them, because it was really touch and go there for a while, which where it does. So that's
right.
Just a guess.
All right. Hey, well, thank you for guessing. That's what we're encouraging folks to do here, and I appreciate it. All right, so I'm going to be asking some more questions in a moment, but the correct answer is the Philippines, and that is because of the Philippines' strongly Catholic heritage. So again, this country had the highest percentage, 84% of the people who said they know God really exists, have no doubts about it, less than 1% who said they don't believe in God. Now, here's what's interesting about that. We have our largest team of grads anywhere in the world working in the Philippines. I believe if you include kids, we have about 50 people on the teams there grads' families serving in the Philippines in some of the poorest areas. They've evangelized large communities living in garbage dumps. They've reached out to obscure villages. And there's a positive and a negative to the Catholicism of the country. The positive is Jesus is important to the people. The positive is they are strong believers in God by heritage and by tradition, with less than 1%, according to this report, saying that they do not believe in God. The negative is, for the vast majority, it is merely a religious tradition. Now, that could happen with Catholicism or Protestantism or any religion. But for the vast majority, it is merely a religious tradition, and these people need to be evangelized and brought to Jesus. These people are not born-again believers. These people have more of a traditional view of things that is very, very distant from the primary sources, from the New Testament, from the words of Jesus himself, and from the gospel truth itself. So it's a major mission field. And by the way, every gift that comes in to our ministry, we pour funds into radio because this is the hub of everything that we do. But the first fruits of every gift that you send us, those of you who are monthly supporters and torchbearers, the first fruits goes to help our missionaries around the world, to help our workers that have come through our school of ministry, have been sent out, and are doing amazing things for the gospel. When we hear the vision of the Philippines team, from feeding the hungry and caring for the poor to setting the captives free through the gospel, it boggles our mind as we see these things unfolding with massive vision. But the correct answer, Philippines. Now, it's interesting that a couple of you suggested East Germany. East Germany was at the bottom of the list, with only 13% of those in former East Germany saying they know God really exists and have no doubts about it. Wow. Why is that number so low? The number is extremely low because of the atheism in which the people were raised. Post-World War II Germany was not a bastion of faith in general. In other words, World War II had devastating catastrophic effects on much of the nation, and the horror of Nazism was devastating on the nation. But East Germany, the people being raised under communism, the people with no concept of God and no interest in a concept of God, raised against concepts of religion, aggressively, actively raised against concepts of religion, it has left a major hole. There is a major hole in the spirit and the psyche of the people of former East Germany. As some of our grads went over there, in fact, I remember one couple from Fire School of Ministry went over as grads to minister, as great-grandparents. The first time that they stepped foot on the mission field that they were going to be staying there and sharing the gospel was as great-grandparents, if you can imagine that. And they were in former East Germany and were stunned by the heart and soul that had been cut out of that people. They were stunned by the spiritual void. They were stunned by even a lack of motivational heart in many, many of the people, that there seemed to be a certain societal deadness and spiritual deadness and even motivational deadness, the fruit of an atheistic regime, the fruit of communist propaganda that had influenced them. Okay, are you ready for this next question? This particular country, 37% of the people, 37% of the people say they have always believed in God. So it's a very low number. 37%. Is it the United States? Is it Great Britain? Is it Japan? Is it Mexico? So we've added in Mexico now. All right? Now don't go online and look this up, because we're having fun here. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This country, 37%, just a little over one-third, say they have always believed in God. Is it America? Is it Great Britain? Is it Japan? Is it Mexico? 866-348-7884. I I ask these questions not just because this is a survey. I got it a week ago, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to discuss this on the air. But it's not just information. It's not just statistics. There's something important about this that I want to focus on. So one last time, 866-34-TRUTH, and right after the break, we'll take your calls. 37% of the people in this country said they've always believed in God. Is it Great Britain? Is it America? Is it Japan? Is it Mexico? What do you think? We'll take your calls on the other side of the break and then share some shocking news.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the Friends of the Second Hour today, which you can catch online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for links if you want to listen online live, or you can catch the entire hour later in the day. It's archived and you can listen for free. I'm going to talk about some of what's happening here in North Carolina with the marriage amendment that we vote on tomorrow. Reverend Billy Graham has taken out a full-page ad saying vote yes for marriage. Former President Bill Clinton has spoken out against the amendment. Vice President Joe Biden is now on record saying he's completely comfortable with men marrying men. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan has said the same thing, and the administration should be supporting it. No shock in any of those things, sad to say. And thank God for Billy Graham recognizing at 93 years old the importance of the marriage issue and feeling the need to weigh in this in his typical clear-headed way. But the shock to me that I'll be talking about in the second hour was that there is a local gospel station here in Charlotte. It calls itself Charlotte's Inspirational Station. And I was preaching yesterday morning in a church, happened to be basically all-black church, a tremendous group of people. I was thrilled. It's a fairly new church plant. I was absolutely thrilled to be there. And the pastor got up and said that he went to advertise on this particular station. He's advertised on it in the past, this inspirational station in Charlotte. I'm not mentioning the name right yet. That he's advertised on it in the past. And when he went to advertise this time, he was going to run an ad saying, vote yes for marriage, vote for the marriage amendment. They refused to run it. They ran one from the NAACP saying, don't vote for marriage. Don't vote for this amendment. Vote against it. And they wouldn't air his ad saying, vote for it. And this is on a Christian station, a major inspirational Christian station here in Charlotte, North Carolina. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Which country then? 37% of the people in this country, just 37%, said they've always believed in God. Is it America? Is it Great Britain? Is it Japan? Is it Mexico? Tanjay in Baltimore, what's your take?
It has to be the United States.
Okay, and why do you say that?
Because this is a large country, and majority of the people in the United States are Christians. They may not be practicing Christians, but a lot of them believe that there is a God.
Okay, but this is only 37% say so. So perhaps it wasn't clear when I was presenting that, or do you think that only 37% of Americans, a little over one-third, say they're sure they've always believed in God? Well, tell you what, let's leave it there with your comment that America is a very religious country and that the majority would profess Christianity. We'll just leave it there. Marie in Brooklyn, what do you think?
Hello?
Yes, Marie, what's your take?
Hi. I think it's also the United States.
Okay.
In my observation, not so many Americans have their faith on God. So
Well, thank you. That's what we're asking for, Marie, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Jermaine in Boston, what's your take, Jermaine?
I think that it is Great Britain.
Go ahead.
And because America is definitely, there's definitely more people that believe in, that will say that in America. And I know that it's been, Christianity has been declining in Europe, and Muslim is taking over. And I also know that Japan is very low. Japan is very low as far as Christianity is concerned.
Right.
And that, what was that other country again?
Mexico, I just threw in. I don't even have stats on Mexico. I just threw that in to give people a fourth choice. But Jermaine, you have nailed it, sir. Great observations there. Thank you for the call. Well done. Okay, here's the deal. Great Britain, come on. Land of John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, Charles Spurgeon. The land of towns with names like Christ Church and on. And on. Great Britain, the Puritans have their heritage there, and so many wonderful Christian things have come from there. Today, only 37%, only 37% of the people say that they have always believed in God. That's why Great Britain is so messed up in so many ways. Now, Japan, because of Buddhist culture, which does not have a clear view of God, and for other reasons, you know, beliefs in different types of deities, etc., they only come out with 25%. So they are, as Richard Truman says, he's the executive director of the Japanese Evangelical Missionary Society. Japanese people actually are spiritual people. They're not religious people, but they're spiritual people. Only 37% of those in Great Britain said they've always believed in God. What about America? 81%. That is the contradiction with America, that America remains a very religious, spiritual country, yet with massive inconsistency between our spirituality and our lifestyle. That we can talk about this more on the other side of the break. I want to bring up some other issues as well. But can I have your ear for a minute so I can share with you candidly? As we have launched on national radio the last 14, 15 months, going beyond many of the stations we were on in the first 3 years, we understood that it takes some time until you build up a support base. It takes a few years. So you're basically swimming upstream, praying hard, feeling tremendous pressure for funding, and running a budget on a very, very, very low amount of funds to pour all the money back out, because the opportunities through radio are phenomenal and an amazingly good investment. But when you launch on major stations across the country, it takes some time to build up a support base. So I want to make an appeal to every one of you listening. If you've never sent in a gift to our ministry, to do it this week. I think you value my voice. Some of you have been listening regularly for years, some for months, but I believe you value and recognize the importance of what we're doing. I want to invite every one of you, if you've never made a one-time donation, to do it, or if you can become a monthly torchbearer, to join us as a torchbearer, a monthly supporter, sending at least $25 a month. And here's what I want to do. My thank you gift to everyone, regardless of the size of your gift, large or small, my thank you gift, another ministry we're working with put out a 64-page edition of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. They took some of the key chapters and the key thoughts and condensed them into a phenomenal little 64-page booklet, all my words and my words only. It's called The Stealth Agenda. You said, man, A Queer Thing Happened to America is so important. It's 700 pages and hard to give out, hard to read. Hey, of course, it's worth reading. But here's a way that all of you can get this tool, whatever you can afford, your gift of any size at all. This is my thank you gift to you. The 64-page booklet, A Stealth Agenda, which will be a super read for you. And then you finally have something to put in the hands of someone. Say, hey, read this, and their eyes will be open. So stand with us today. Would you do that? 1-800-278-9978. If you've helped us before and you can do it again, great. For those that have never done it, today's the great day. 1-800-278-9978. We'll also send it as a gift, of course, to those who become torchbearers. One more time, stand with us. Hold our hands up as we're on the front lines. 1-800-278-9978. Together, we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. When a nation turns away from God, there really are consequences. Some you see immediately, some you see over the course of a generation or generations, but there are always consequences. And we have this unique thing in America with a lot of church attendance, with a lot of spirituality and spiritual searching. As much as you hear about the rise of atheism in America, it's still a very, very small percentage of the population that claims to not believe in God at all. And even though there's been about a 10% decline from 85% to 75%, very roughly, of people who identify as Christian, it's not because they've all become atheists. A lot are just non-affiliated, and they've had it with Christianity or churchianity, but they haven't become atheists in those numbers. What, atheists are 6%, 7% professing atheists of the population? 81% of Americans claim to believe in God, and yet we've got this superficial spirituality in our country, friends. And as it's been said for years, Christianity in America is 3,000 miles wide and 1 foot deep. I remember a few years ago being on the air and someone called in and said, "No, Dr. Brown, I disagree with you. It's not that deep." God help us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm about to tell you about something in Canada. Where a kid in school wearing his Jesus shirt was told he had to take it off. It was a T-shirt, "Life is wasted without Jesus," and told that he'd be suspended. And if he wears it again, he could be suspended for the remainder of the school year. Yes, I'm not making this up. 866-34-TRUTH. I just mentioned, though, before the break, I mentioned a major Christian radio station in Charlotte that ran an ad from the NAACP urging voters to vote against the marriage amendment. Vote against it. And then when a church that's worked with them before, paid the money for ads before, when this church said, "All right, we want to run an ad saying vote for the marriage amendment," the station, right up to the manager, refused to run it. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely not gospel, not Christian. It's one thing if they said, "Hey, we don't want to get involved in this dispute. We're not running either ad." But to run the one and refuse to run the other, and somehow to do it based on some supposed Christian conviction. God help us. Peter in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, it's a privilege. I just want to give you some background about myself. I'm actually a former reporter, and I work for a WGIH here in Boston. It's an inspirational Christian station here. We would never do that. But I wanted to...
Nor would WEZE, of course, that we're speaking on right now. But go ahead, Peter.
Yes. But I wanted to indicate to you what I perceive as a disturbing trend. What I perceive might be a disturbing trend. I actually was involved with a local Baptist church. I know this is going to sound a little bit controversial, but I know you're okay with the kind of saying things that need to be said.
Yes, sir.
That's why I appreciate your show so much, because you really say those truths that we really need to help, you know, that you help us to acknowledge what we're afraid to admit sometimes. I worked at this wonderful, I'd say, evangelical Baptist church here in the Boston area, and they were very much, in the sermons, very much pro-traditional marriage, against the sin of homosexuality and against abortion. However, when it came to, they would give these regular shout-outs. And it happened to be an African American church, pretty much entirely, except for myself. I was playing the piano at the time.
Tell you what, Peter, we got a break coming up, so you can finish the story. We'll have to get right to the punchline on the other side of the break. But I'm eager to hear this. And listen, we have compromise in the white church, the black church, the Hispanic church, the Asian church, and we have fine people in each of those churches. So. It's not a racial issue, as we understand. It's a spiritual issue. We'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before I talk to you about Canada, let's get back with Peter in Boston, 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. All right, Peter, so the punchline then, this church that was evangelical in its views, and you said stood for marriage as God intended it, and recognized certain aspects of sexual behavior as being sinful, there seemed to be a breakdown in other points?
And at the same time, they gave shout-outs to Barack Obama, to Al Sharpton, and all of these politicians. And I believe, and I think you'll find this prescription, which is humble on my part because you're the expert here, but I think the prescription is that we need to take ownership of these issues, more within our own church. We need to reach out to, if you're not a minority or if you are a minority, reach out to these minority churches outside the government so that they're, so they don't feel that they're abandoned and have to turn to these clearly anti-Christian politicians. And these are intelligent pastors in this church, and for whatever reason, even though that you ask anyone in that church, homosexuality is wrong, and they believe it. But they will vote, they will swear by President Obama or Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. These are their role models. And so it's a dichotomy I think we can fix by fixing our own behavior. Thanks,
yeah,
Dr. Brown.
Peter. Yep, Peter, I appreciate you weighing in. Here's what I would say is the heart and soul of the issue. And I'm just going to mention it briefly and then move on. We can discuss this other days, okay? I would say the heart and soul of the issue is that white evangelicals put their emphasis on the issues of abortion and marriage and family in terms of homosexual activism and things like that. And then many would also put a strong emphasis on Israel. Those are things I'm always looking at. Where does a candidate stand on life? Where does a candidate stand on the issues of marriage and family? Where does a candidate stand on the issues of Israel? If the candidate's strong on those and maybe weaker on the economy, weaker on national security, those three things are going to point me in a very strong direction for that candidate. Black evangelicals would be much more concerned with issues of social justice. They would be concerned with issues of what's happening in the inner cities, what's happening with education, what's happening with care for the poor. White evangelicals would tend to go Republican. Black evangelicals would tend to go Democratic. I know I'm overstating certain things and understating other things, but I'm saying that in generalities. That's why it's so important that we have conversations with each other. And that's why I think the key thing is that we're rightly educated, and then, of course, that the church fulfills its role to minister effectively into these situations. So I think most of you listening that are on both sides of these issues, I describe this, would accept, generally speaking, what I'm saying. So white evangelicals having zero to do for us with the color of someone's skin would say, hey, if Mr. Obama was standing for these issues that are important to us, we would be absolutely in his camp. We would be cheering him on. Our issue has nothing to do with race. Our issue has to do with the issues. And then in the black evangelical community, I'm sure many have been wanting to see a black president, and the social implications that can have and the reversing of so much of what's been wrong in America that can symbolize. I embrace that. I recognize that. But many would say, look, it's the social righteousness issues, the social justice. That's our concern. What I would challenge is, are we, either of us, looking the other way on certain things? Are we perhaps just going along with party lines and party propaganda? Are there strongholds on either of our sides that we do not see and recognize? That's why we need to sit down together and talk things through, as difficult as it is. And I'll tell you the one thing, though, that I have no patience for is when people are willingly misinformed. I have no patience for that. Yeah, we can debate facts. We can debate where certain candidates stand. But I'll give you an example. All right, I'll give you an example. And those of you who listen regularly know that I am not just some conservative talking head. You understand that I am not out to bash the president all the time. Listen to some conservative talk radio. I'm talking secular conservative talk radio. And listen to the daily, sometimes by the minute, bashing of the administration or whoever the Democratic president is at that moment. Just watch and listen. That's not me. That's not who I am. But here's what concerns me. Before Mr. Obama was elected, even as the Democratic candidate, I shared with listeners statements he had made to a gay and lesbian group in San Francisco in writing, where he made very plain his complete solidarity with their goals and views. And you knew 100% reading that, that he stood for the redefining of marriage. We shared that on the air, and people went and talked to their friends who were planning to vote for him. And when they heard that and read it, they refused to believe it. That's what concerns me. Now, please hear me. This can happen to any of us. Am I saying this plainly enough? This can happen to any of us, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Tea Party, whoever. This could happen to any of us, regardless of the color of our skin, our ethnicity, our religious backgrounds. This can happen to any of us, including me, which means it's important to constantly challenge our comfort zone, to constantly challenge just the gut-level reaction we have to this side or that side, and make sure that our ultimate solidarity is with Jesus and his kingdom and with the gospel. And then everything has to filter out from there into the rest of our lives. Some of you are cheering me on. Some of you are misunderstanding me. Some of you are offended. But as long as you process what I say and hear me fairly, I'm fine with that. All right? To Canada. Todd Starnes reports, Radio Fox News, a Canadian high school student, this is 3 days ago, was suspended for a week because he wore a T-shirt promoting his Christian beliefs, and he was told if he wears it again, he could be suspended for the remainder of the school year. William Swinimer, a student at Forest Heights Community School in Nova Scotia, was punished for wearing a shirt that read, "Life is wasted without Jesus." How dare he? How dare he wear such a bigoted, intolerant, hateful, discriminatory, ugly shirt? Forgive my sarcasm. You know, I wonder what shirts other kids wear in that school. I wonder how many heavy metal death shirts they wear. I wonder how many obnoxious, ugly shirts they wear, and all kinds of metrics. I don't know. I'm just wondering out loud. But either way, he gets suspended for a week for wearing a shirt that read, "Life is wasted without Jesus." Swinimer told Fox News that he was told the shirt was a form of, quote, hate talk. You know, here's the positive. This stuff gets so ridiculous, so idiotic, so absurd, so over the top that it begins to disqualify itself to thinking people, or I should say to people who have a working functioning brain, that they begin to see how the intolerant ones are overplaying their hands. Oh, the ones who claim to be tolerant, the ones who claim to be inclusive. You know, a few years ago, Caribou Coffee, their national chain, not of course on the scope of a Starbucks, but they're a national chain, and they're in different states. They're here in Greater Charlotte. I noticed that they were sponsoring the local gay pride event. So I wrote to them on behalf of our organization, the Coalition of Conscience, and I said, you know, we just really think it's best to stay neutral in the culture wars. We're not asking you to put Bibles in your stores or to be playing Christian music, but you know, this is a highly divisive issue in our city, and to support it is sending a message to everyone else. And they wrote back and said, no, actually, we work together with our entire community. We want to show solidarity with our entire community. So that's why we're doing this, to show our solidarity with the community. I wrote back, said, okay, I'm not happy with that answer, but since that's the case, then would you sponsor an event that we'll be holding? We have sponsors already, the fastest growing small business in North Carolina. A few others, friends I talked to said, hey, would you sponsor this event? Sure. I said, we've got this event. It's going to be a wonderful pro-family day. We're going to celebrate marriage. We're going to celebrate teen abstinence and sexual purity. We're going to celebrate the sanctity of the life of the unborn. Will you sponsor it? They wrote back and said, we will not work with you because we are inclusive. I'm not kidding. I have the letter. We will not work with you because we are inclusive and you work with so-and-so. They mentioned another Christian leader in the city. I wrote back, challenge their definition of being inclusive. Come on, inclusive. We won't work with you because we're inclusive. We won't consider your viewpoint because we're open-minded. We are too narrow to consider your viewpoint because we are so broad in our thinking. God help us. And I wrote back and said, no, actually, I'm not working with this gentleman at all. He's a friend, but I'm not working with him. He has no relationship to this event whatsoever. So you'll work with us. And of course, as always happens, when you just pin them down with a clear and honest question, they never respond. Oh, let me tell you about NYU and Chick-fil-A and being inclusive. And then more on this story from Canada when we come back right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. So you have, say, major national, international company like Starbucks openly, aggressively supporting same-sex marriage, the redefinition of marriage, fighting for it in the state of Washington, clearly, openly, publicly espousing it. You have companies like Pepsi-Cola donating as much as $500,000 at a time to gay activist organizations, proudly so. You have many other major companies making their stands here in Greater Charlotte, the big banks, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, famous for their bold public gay activist stance. You have our local power company, Duke Energy, lighting up its building in lavender colors during the gay pride events in the summer, very proudly taking their stand. Then you have a company like Chick-fil-A. It is a Christian-owned company closed on Sundays. It's a fast food company, serves chicken dishes only, no beef, and famous for its courtesy, its customer service, its high ratings in that regard. And they donate money to Focus on the Family, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, other organizations like that. They donated money to a local pro-family organization. I think in Pennsylvania, they donated directly sandwiches and brownies and things like that. National outrage. How dare they? National outrage against them. Boycott them. Then the American Family Association started a boycott instead of the boycott, a boycott. And probably Chick-fil-A got more business from it, plus people love eating there anyway. You're going to go fast food, go Chick-fil-A, right? So here's what happens, though. National calls for boycotting Chick-fil-A. How outrageous. Hate group. This is how twisted things have become, friends. This is why we sound the alarm. This is why we speak up as we do, knowing the power of the gospel, knowing that truth will triumph. Knowing that the kingdom of God will ultimately advance and Jesus will be glorified and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm alerting you so that we can stand all the more boldly and have all the more compassion on those we differ with and pray and war in the spirit because this is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. We're not against people. We're not fighting people. So NYU, my alma mater, where I got my master's and PhD, NYU has a very, very strong gay community, part of the New York-based, part of the artsy base that they have there. And they have campaigned to get Chick-fil-A off of their campus or campuses in New York because they say, we are inclusive. We are inclusive and therefore cannot have anybody like this here because we're inclusive. Talk about doublespeak. Inclusive means exclusive. Tolerance means intolerance. Open-mindedness means closed-mindedness. It's what we're facing. So William Swinimer said that when he had this T-shirt, Life is Wasted Without Jesus, he said, I've been told by my principal that it's hate talk and is disrespectful to other people's religions. She said the shirt cannot be in school because people would get offended. Nancy Pinch Worthy Lake, the school board superintendent, told the Canadian Press that the wording on the shirt is problematic. If I have an expression that says my life is enhanced with Jesus, then there is no issue with that. Everybody's able to quickly understand that that's my opinion about my own belief. If the shirt were to say, without Jesus, your life is a complete waste, then that's clear that it is an opinion aimed at somebody else's belief. I imagine they're very, very strict with LGBT shirts that might offend someone. Sarcasm. Swinnemer confirmed that he had been disciplined a number of times for wearing shirts with religious references. I found that they have dissed Christianity quite a bit. He said, I don't want to be disrespectful of anybody else's religions. I don't want to put down anybody's opinions. All I want to do is stand up for rights and freedoms of Canadians. He said, they treat other religions differently than they do Christianity. The staff and principal and school board have been very hostile toward Christianity. And on it goes. No surprise. Okay. Friends, I want to ask you to team together with me. It's my joy to be on the front lines. It's my joy to be writing cutting-edge books and articles and day by day to be with you across America and around the world, 2 hours live daily on the air. You may not get all 2 hours right where you are, but we are pumping this out by God's grace, 2 hours live, traveling to different parts of the country and the world and making sure I can do my radio broadcast live from those spots because this is the center and core of what we are doing. By God's grace, we're reaching Jewish people with the gospel. Many years ago, a counter-missionary branded me public enemy number one. We now get attacked on every front for the stance we take for righteousness, which means by God's grace, we're making a difference. And truth is getting out, and hearts and minds are being opened. We now have a wonderful resource. I can't tell you how many people who were blessed by A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700 pages long, filled with details, said, can we just have a little thing to give out? Something little, kind of bottom line to give out to people. Well, another fine ministry worked together with us and with my approval, condensed some of the key chapters to 64 pages in a little mini book. All right, you can't buy this right now, but here's how you can get it. It's my thank you for your gift of any size whatsoever. It's my thank you. Those that can afford very little, that's fine. My joy to send it to you. Those who can help us with a larger gift, awesome. We are still in the early stages of building our support base. I could take 2 hours a day to raise funds and make appeals, but that's not where we're on the air. We're not going to give you 59 minutes of pleading and 1 minute of feeding. It's going to be quite the reverse, and we're never going to plead. I want to encourage you to partner with me. We're on the front lines. We're making a difference. Everywhere we go, we meet people who say, I listen to you every day. I can't tell you how that moves me and encourages me and strengthens me. And the people who don't agree, they're listening as well, and we're able to get them thinking too. What a privilege. What a joy. So here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And your gift of any size, those who can be generous, do it. It would really help us. Those who have very little, whatever you can do, we'll send this postage paid. It's called The Stealth Agenda. 64 pages, key chapters from my Queer Thing Happened to America book. My words, nobody's changed the words. My exact words, looked at by me with my approval. Some of the key chapters condensed. And I'm talking about a tool you can give to you for here. Read this. And eyes will be open. So your gift of any size, or if you become a monthly torchbearer, we surprise you with another gift, but we'll include this as well. 1-800-278-9978. And my thank you in advance to all of you who will call and stand with us. And don't think, I don't have a lot. Don't worry about it. I want to get this to you. This is my way of getting it to you. And this is the way of opening the door for everyone to join in and participate so that together we can make a difference. Friends, I believe the greatest days of the church in America are yet ahead of us. Oh, it's contrary to what I see. It's contrary to what my mind tells me. But to my gut, I still believe the best is yet to come. And God's going to pour out His Spirit. And God's going to shake this nation. And somehow, in the midst of the corruption and sin, which is not having to do with political parties or individuals, it has to do with the fallen human race, ultimately. God's going to raise up righteousness. I believe there's going to be a moral and cultural revolution based on the gospel. I believe it with all my heart. Stand together with us, 1-800-278-9978. Again, thank you in advance. My bottom line, in the midst of the insanity and the craziness of our culture, there is one thing and one thing only that will turn the tide. It is God's Spirit, God's power, moving through His people, consecrated to Him with the exaltation of Jesus. Things are really heating up here in North Carolina with implications for the nation. You won't believe the latest news.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, got your seatbelts on? No. This is not a car safety check. I'm talking metaphorically. Got your seatbelts on because we are ready to move here on the Line of Fire. We're ready to take off. Thank you for joining me today, Michael Brown. My delight to be with you, providing you with a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, ask Dr. Brown. .org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay. Yesterday morning, I was preaching for a colleague of mine who was on the air with me a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dr. Gabriel Rogers. He's an adjunct prof at Gordon-Conwell Seminary, where I also teach here in Greater Charlotte area. He's PhD in counseling, and he is pastor of a church. Now, I'm going to give you ethnic description. Black family pastoring a largely black church with a real burden to touch the community and to raise up righteousness in the community and solid families in the community and make a difference. And I was turned loose to preach there. What a great time. Those who are listening for the first time from the church there, wonderful. Glad to have you as new listeners. All right. He went to take out an ad for the marriage amendment. And the marriage amendment in North Carolina, friends, we vote on tomorrow, but it has national implications. That's why I'm speaking this hour. We have all of our North Carolina stations this hour, but many across the nation joining us as well. So I'm talking about it this hour for North Carolina, but because it is of national interest. I'll explain how in a little while. He went to take out an ad on a local radio station, 100.9, Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station, a station I'm sure that's doing a lot of good for the city. He went to take out an ad, and we contacted the folks there with no success, weren't able to get through and speak to someone directly to say, hey, do you want to come on the air, give us your side of things? But he's advertised with them in the past and plans to advertise again in the future. He wanted to run an ad supporting Amendment 1, encouraging people to vote for marriage, to vote yes for Amendment 1 tomorrow. And the station had previously run and was running ads from the NAACP urging voters to vote against the marriage amendment. They ran those ads. Charlotte Praise, 100.9 FM, ran the ads for the NAACP. This is a public thing. That's why I can share it publicly. And again, these are brothers and sisters who are doing much good in the city, but have made a terrible mistake on this issue. They ran the ads for the NAACP saying vote against the marriage amendment and refused to run this pastor's ad. They've run his ads before. They've taken his money for advertising before. He said this publicly to his whole congregation. That's why I'm repeating it now. This is public news. He said he went right up to the station manager, and they refused to run his ad. That's one thing if they said this is a volatile issue, and even though we have our own convictions, we don't want to run ads either way because we don't want this to be politicized. We don't want our radio station to be politicized. And even though both sides think this is a gospel issue, we're going to be in the middle of it. It's going to be politicized. That would have been one thing. And we're not saying that, say, a Muslim station has to have air Christian ads, or if there was an atheist station that they have to air pro-God ads, or that a Christian station has to air pro-Muslim ads. No. But to air ads from the NAACP saying vote against the marriage amendment? What a wrong choice. Vote against the marriage amendment, and then to refuse to run ads saying vote for the marriage amendment? That is absolutely wrong, unconscionable, and inexcusable. May the Lord open the eyes of our friends there. Open rebuke is better than secret love.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Why should we care, the rest of the country, about what's happening with the vote for the marriage amendment in North Carolina? There are a number of reasons. We are bombarded constantly through the media. We are constantly bombarded with gay activist propaganda, which I have from the 1980s gay activist leaders saying that we will change the mindset of Americans through a sustained attack of propaganda fed through the media. I mean, they make explicit what the goals are. It's almost like, to use an analogy, almost like a pickpocket saying, I am going to reach this hand around this pocket and take things while we're talking, and you won't even notice it, and they go ahead and do it. In other words, they laid out clearly what the strategy is and forthright in it, and even have Vice President of the United States saying, yeah, Will and Grace, TV show Will and Grace, has done a lot to change American thinking. And, of course, our gay activist friends would say it's for the good, and we would categorically differ. So what happens in North Carolina sends another message that 31 out of 31 states that have voted on this say marriage is the union of a man and a woman. That's the first thing. It sends a message for four more states that are going to be voting for this later in the year to stand strong and not be discouraged. And it sends a message to the Supreme Court. I just caught Pastor Mark Harris from First Baptist here in Charlotte addressing these very things to his congregation the other day. When this goes to the Supreme Court, there is a case heading to the Supreme Court from California. This has been the expectation for years. That's where it's going to end up. And there are Supreme Court justices, one in particular, who's considered to be the swing vote, Justice Kennedy, who cares a lot about public opinion. In other words, how does the nation feel? How do people feel about certain issues? And if he feels there's merit, say, on both sides of an argument, we're not talking about the whole nation being racist bigots and we're going to support that. But if he feels there's merit on both sides, but the pulse of the nation is a certain thing, that would influence him as well. We're talking about a Supreme Court vote that could be as monumental as Roe v. Wade. So how is it that people are arguing against this? Here's an NAACP leader speaking at a church here in North Carolina. I'm going to give two snippets of his reason. Clip number three.
We should never seek to codify division, hate, and discrimination into the very heart and framework of our Constitution.
All right, so that's
James Madison explained, constitutional amendments are reserved for certain great and extraordinary occasions, and this is not one by any measure.
All right. You can hear the rousing response he got in that particular church, NAACP leader speaking in a church in North Carolina. Okay, first thing, that this is now codifying bigotry and discrimination. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing, that constitutional amendments are only for major, major issues, and this is not one of them. And then the third argument would be, well, this is going to affect the children. I did a debate, I did a third hour of radio Friday, my dear friend Stu Epperson with Truth Talk Radio that engineers our shows every single day and that takes your calls. He did an extra hour, took over some other airtime so we could discuss this in North Carolina, and I debated a bishop very respectfully. I appreciate it. He was articulated, clear-headed. We were mutually respectful and categorically on other sides of the issue. This is going to negatively affect the children. The first thing, the idea this is going to codify bigotry. It is not bigotry to say marriage is always what it's been. It is not discrimination to say that two men coming together or two women coming together do not equal a man and a woman. Here, watch this. Are you ready? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Was that math or spelling? Ah, spelling. All right, watch this now. 2 + 2 = 4. Was that math or spelling? That was math. All right. 1 man + 1 man, it's not marriage. 1 woman + 1 woman, it's not marriage. God made us male and female. Isn't that what Jesus says in John 19? Those who say he didn't address these issues, of course he did. They're foundational. God created us in the beginning, male and female, and the man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one. And to them, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Marriage has always been the union of a man and a woman. And the Bible presupposes this throughout. It doesn't say on every page, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, because on every page, it's telling you what is right, what is right, what is right. And by example and teaching, showing us what it's wrong. For example, the negative fruit and destructive fruit of polygamy. Husbands love your wives, not husbands love your partners or husbands love your husbands. There was a lesbian couple got married recently and they were pronounced bride and groom. I kid you not. Broom. Chosen. That was merging bride and groom. Bride and broom. We're supposed to say, oh, that's just wonderful. Lady married herself recently. Yeah. Her 11-year-old son was the only one that spoke sanity in the article that I read. He said, Mom, I love you, but you're embarrassing me. For good reason. Major network TV now is doing all these stories on polyamory and how these polyamorous families work together. I've got quotes in A Queer Thing Happened to America from a gay pastor who says, hey, he's got polyamorous families come up to the altar for communion and a sadomasochistic couple, master and slave, come up for communion. He's got to minister to all of them. You don't want to be bigoted and discriminatory. No, no. As a dear sister said yesterday, actually a black sister, some discrimination is good. There is racist discrimination. There is bigoted discrimination. There is discrimination that treats some people as subhumans that is wrong. And there is discrimination that is good. For example, holiness is good. Sin is bad. Healthy foods are good. Poison is bad. Being discriminating in our tastes and in our standards is healthy. So this idea that it's bigotry and discrimination, no, it's simply saying marriage is marriage. Marriage is marriage, and we're not redefining it based on people's romantic attractions and sexual desires. We'll treat them as fellow human beings, but we're not going to redefine marriage. Well, James Madison said constitutional amendments are only for something major. And by the way, you know how major this is? Reverend Billy Graham took out a full-page ad, I think 14 different newspapers in North Carolina. Reverend Billy Graham endorsing the marriage amendment. Former President Bill Clinton speaking against it. I say this is pretty major. I say this is pretty major because when you redefine marriage, you redefine everything. You redefine relationships, family, what kids are taught in schools, and religious liberties. Religious liberties. I'll talk to you about that in a moment. Another outrageous case coming our way directly related to this. You better believe it's major. But as the bishop that I debated on Friday afternoon, again, respectful debate between the two of us, as he said, it was not during this hour, it was an additional hour of broadcasting we did. As he said, he cannot hurt the least of one of these children. And if there's a child out there that will lose health care because of this bill passing, because it says that the only recognized unions, even domestic partnerships, civil unions, would be male-female. If this is going to hurt, as he said, the least of one of these little children, he cannot vote for it. I said, Bishop, we know for a fact the harm that is coming to little children all around America through gay activist curriculum. We know for a fact the harm that has come to many. We know of the kids coming home from school crying and confused. We know of all of these instances. We know of the insanity of what's happening in school systems, say, in Massachusetts and in California. We know about that. We know about the harm coming to the little children. You're concerned that someone's going to lose health insurance, and it's still not proven it's going to happen. Major law school university here in North Carolina has disputed what other professors and other law schools have said, many of whom would have to admit to a very, very strong anti-biblical Christian bias. Have to admit to that. The Bar Association has come out radically against biblical values on a number of cases, which should concern us being the attorneys of America, just as much of the educational establishment in America come out against clear biblical values for years and years now. That's part of the reason we're in the mess that we're in and why we so desperately need revival and why I believe God will send revival as we humble ourselves. and turn to the Lord and cry out to him. This idea that's going to affect the kids. Hey, we've had 30 states pass constitutional amendments, and this hasn't happened. And we've got at least a dozen with language similar to or even more specific than our language here in North Carolina. And there has not been this flood of cases and problems. You know what it's like? It's like ambulances are saving people's lives day and night getting into the hospital, and there was an accident with one, so we're now going to ban ambulances and let people die instead. Friends, there's a right and there's a wrong here. We'll come back and talk about it some more. Oh, what about Vice President Biden? What does he have to say? Well, listen, we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm just looking at an email I just received. I'm going to share that with you in a little while. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Andrew, let's get that clip from Minnesota ready. I want to play this first. This is regarding marriage amendment in Minnesota, why people should be voting for it. This is a National Organization for Marriage putting out some information here. And again, I just want you to hear the implications. We'll listen to Vice President Biden, in a moment. But I just want you to hear the implications. I also want to let you know, as listeners, we've got our vote tomorrow. And this has been a major issue. And it's something that the nation is looking at, rightly so, not just us in North Carolina. I am not going to be as focused on this once we get past this, and especially devote our time on Wednesdays to the world moral cultural issues. That'll be a day we'll talk about this more. But I do hope you understand that these are major issues. And one of our roles here on the Line of Fire is to be sons of Issachar. 1 Chronicles 12:32, understanding the times and knowing what Israel should do. This is one of those things where you want me drawing attention to this and sounding the alarm. So this is a spokesperson for National Organization of Marriage speaking about Minnesota and why it's important to vote for marriage, but the implications are the same nationally.
Hi, I'm Callie Yonta, and welcome to this edition of Minnesota Marriage Minute, exploring issues related to the proposed Marriage Protection Amendment. Today, let's look at a question supporters of gay marriage frequently pose. How would redefining marriage to accommodate gay marriage impact your own marriage? Well, redefining marriage will impact all of Minnesota society because it will change the definition of marriage for everyone. If gay marriage activists get their way, marriage in Minnesota will effectively become genderless. Gay marriage won't exist alongside traditional marriage. Our traditional understanding of marriage will be stripped from the law and will be replaced with this new genderless definition of marriage. The law will allow no room for those people, a strong majority of Minnesotans, who for personal, ethnic, moral, or religious reasons cannot agree with the new definition of marriage. Legal experts on both sides of the issue say there will be an immense volume of litigation against individuals, small businesses, and religious organizations. Churches and religious organizations can lose their tax exemption status. They can be forced to either abandon their core moral principles or abandon their social ministry. Individuals, small businesses, and groups will be subjected to lawsuits and regulatory action if they refuse to condone the new understanding of marriage. Perhaps most shockingly, children at a very young age, as early as kindergarten, will be taught in school that marriage is between any two adults, no matter what they have been taught at home, in church, or in their ethnic traditions. Under that kind of law, those who believe otherwise will be treated the same as racists and bigots. Redefining marriage affects everyone.
Yeah, in the background, you heard other voices. That was Joe Solomonese, one of the nation's leading gay activists, speaking on a TV show opposite Maggie Gallagher, one of the nation's strongest proponents of marriage, and referring to her as an outright bigot because she stands for marriage. Genderless marriage! Yeah. In other words, marriage forms, because they're going to be universal in the state, marriage forms have to have options. So it can be, the name of the husband, or excuse me, the bride, the groom, or bride, groom, or partner A, partner B. It has to be genderless. You've got to include the options. In Spain right now, where same-sex marriage, so-called marriage, was legalized, and a birth certificate, it's progenitor A and progenitor B. Yeah. I mean, that's the case. Because you can't have mom and dad, because that's discriminatory now. You don't... And as for religious discrimination, I'll talk about this more on the other side of the break. From England, Anglican lay reader kept from pulpit over gay marriage stance. Huh? The Anglican Church in England officially supports marriage and opposes the redefinition of marriage. It's the official church posture. Huh? An Anglican lay reader has been told to refrain from ministry after he encouraged parishioners to sign a petition defending traditional marriage. Complaints were made against Peter Gallen, a lay reader for 50 years, after he invited members of the congregation of All Saints Church, Sanderstedt, to sign the Coalition for Marriage, a petition supporting the current definition of marriage. Mr. Gallen, 78, was instructed by his archdeacon to withdraw from preaching and leading worship for 2 months, despite the fact that the official position of the church opposes gay marriage and the Archbishops of Canterbury and York have spoken publicly against changing the definition. Church authorities denied that Mr. McGowan had been sacked or suspended and said that the action had nothing to do with same-sex marriage. They said some members of the congregation has raised pastoral concerns with the archdeacon, and he discussed these with the reader. During the meeting, it became clear that there were disagreements within the parish concerning somehow how some matters are handled. The archdeacon asked the reader to refrain from ministry in the particular parish for 2 months in order for there to be time for these pastoral matters to be resolved. You can't even say from the pulpit of an Anglican church, now make sure you stand for marriage without risking getting sacked or suspended or asked, excuse me, to temporarily step down for a couple months while the pastoral issues are addressed. Friends, I'm on the air for one reason only. I'm on the air because God called me to be on the air as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, to get the message that has burned in my heart for decades out to the widest possible listening audience on a daily basis, and there is no better way to do it than radio, and no more cost-effective way to do it. Now, we have an amazing resource that's going to be one of the most practical things we've ever produced. I want to tell you about it in one moment, but if you'll allow me to be honest, transparent with you. I know that's what many of you like, that you know you get it from the heart with me. There's no hype or put on anything. What you get, what you see, what you hear is what you get, is who I am. Well, I understand through folks that have been in radio ministry for many, many years that it takes a number of years, a national radio show in particular, to build up a support base for more and more people to know that you exist, then to start listening regularly, than to get involved and help you, because this is all listener supported. It's amazingly cost effective, but to be on the major stations where you are across the nation, it costs a lot of money every month, way, 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 way beyond anything we can possibly bring in on ourselves, by ourselves. So that's where you get to partner with us. And you know, over the course of the show, we'll mention at the end of every half hour a special resource we have, and that's it. We're devoted to spending every minute edifying you, strengthening you, equipping you, and even the resources to help you. But I need all of you listening. Some of you have been listening for years and have never once sent in a gift. And maybe you could send in something, small or large. Others just started listening but say, hey, I like this guy. I want to promote what he's doing and stand with him. And others, you can become monthly supporters with at least $25 a month. So we've got this amazing resource. Another ministry we work with has taken my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700 pages, and taken the best of it and shortened it, key chapters, to just 64 pages, all my words, all with my approval. And this resource is our thank you gift for your gift of any size. So can I appeal to you to stand with me? And here, you got something out of just put in somebody's hand, read this, and their eyes will be open. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Our team is ready to take your call, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We'll send you a stealth agenda. Our thank you for your gift of any size.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire. Hey, when's the last time Reverend Dr. Billy Graham and former President Bill Clinton both weighed in on an issue? When's the last time that happened? Well, it's happening now in North Carolina. And what's happening in North Carolina has implications for the nation. Michael Brown, thank you. Thank you for joining us today on the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Okay, I've got a neat update to share. I spoke at a church yesterday morning, Black Gospel Church here in Greater Charlotte area. Pastor Gabriel Rogers had been on the air with me previously to talk about the marriage amendment here. I spoke at his church, and he mentioned that he tried to take an ad, a pro-marriage amendment ad on Praise 100.9, billed as Charlotte's Inspiration Station. They were playing ads from the NAACP against the marriage amendment, making it into a civil rights issue and a bigotry discrimination issue, which is mind-bogglingly wrong. And they refused to run his ad. And he went right up to the manager. They refused. I just saw a post from a gentleman named Scott Chisholm, and he said that they have been playing a pro-amendment one ad sponsored by Pastor Patrick Wooden, who is one of the key men standing up for marriage in the state. So whatever happened that caused them to refuse to play the one ad, they have played another. So I'm so glad to hear that. And that's where we tried to call and speak with them directly to get more information on it. So obviously I'd rather not have the ad played from the NAACP, but at least they are playing ads on both sides. And that underscores what I've said. I thank God for the good that they do in the city and just had a strong difference on this issue. But thank you for the update and the clarification. All right. So, Reverend Billy Graham weighs in. Here we go. 93 years old. He takes out an ad, full-page ad, in 14 different newspapers in North Carolina. At 93, he says, "I never thought we would have to debate the definition of marriage. The Bible is clear. God's definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. I want to urge my fellow North Carolinians to vote for the marriage amendment on Tuesday, May 8th. God bless you as you vote." In April, Ann Graham Lotz and her brother Franklin Graham also publicly endorsed a yes vote for the measure. Oh, not everybody's happy with that. Not everybody's happy with that. And one gay activist known for his over-the-top bashing writes, "One time anti-Semite Billy Graham has come out in support of Amendment 1, the constitutional marriage discrimination amendment being put before North Carolina voters next Tuesday. This activist says, I'm a little confused here because I thought we lived in America, yet Graham is now trying to jam his own church's rules and doctrine down my throat." Here's, all right, you ready? Are you ready? This gay activist says, "Graham is now trying to jam his own church's rules and doctrine down my throat." He says, "Do we now make our civil laws based upon Christian Sharia? This is supposed to be taken seriously. Do we all have to follow his version of the Bible or be punished by the government? And if this is the case, are we really in a free country? Or are we really much different than Iran? Or is it only a matter of degrees or a matter of time until these so-called Christian supremacists get their filthy and corrupt paws on all of our laws?" Can you believe the reaction? The reaction exposes the wrongness of the fundamental position that is being espoused. Here's what Dr. Graham said. "At 93, I never thought we'd have to debate the definition of marriage. The Bible is clear. God's definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. I want to urge my fellow North Carolinians to vote for the marriage amendment on Tuesday, May 8th. God bless you as you vote." When you get a hysterical, shrill, over-the-top reaction like this, "Do we now make our civil laws based upon Christian Sharia?" You know you've hit a nerve. Good news is, truth will triumph.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so we've got Bill Clinton weighing in. We've got, on a national level, Vice President Joe Biden weighing in. We've got Secretary of Education Arne Duncan weighing in. Very, very interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to tell you what happened to a young lady on Facebook. Just got a report from her mom. Young lady on Facebook, when she sought to take a stand for marriage and family on Facebook and in her school, I want you to know what happened to this 16-year-old. Because she's 17 now, but she was 16 at that point. 866-34-TRUTH. But let's listen to our Vice President, Joe Biden.
You raise social policy. I'm curious. You know, the president has said that his views on gay marriage, on same-sex marriage, have evolved. But he's opposed to it. You're opposed to it. Have your views evolved?
Look, I just think the good news is that as more and more Americans come to understand what this is all about is a simple proposition. Who do you love? Who do you love? And will you be loyal to the person you love? And that's what people are finding out is what all marriages at their root are about. Whether they're marriages of lesbians or gay men or heterosexuals.
Is that what you believe now?
That's what I believe.
And you're comfortable with same-sex marriage now?
I am Vice President of the United States of America. The president sets the policy. I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
In a second term, will this administration come out behind same-sex marriage, the institution of marriage?
I can't speak to that. I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you.
It sounds like you'd like to see it happen, if that's where the president
The president
it.
Continues to fight, whether it's don't ask, don't tell, or whether it is making sure across the board that you cannot discriminate. Look at the executive orders he's put in place. Any hospital that gets federal funding, which is almost all of them, they can't deny a partner from being able to have access to their partner's ill or making the call on whether or not they, you know, it's just, this is evolving. And by the way, my measure, David, and I take a look at when things really begin to change is when the social culture changes. I think Will and Grace probably did more to educate the American public than almost anything anybody's ever done so far. And I think people fear that which is different. Now they're beginning to understand.
That says it all, doesn't it? That Will and Grace have done more to educate the American public. That says it all, with all respect to our vice president. That says it all. And there was one point where he said, I, and we've all got tongue-tied or get stuck on words. Happens to any of us that talk publicly. But that's the only part of his statement I agreed with. I. Yes, I. Now, look, here's my issue here. It has been clear since before Mr. Obama was elected, and I'm not here to bash our president. If you listen regularly, you know that's not what I'm about, and I do not identify with either political party, and I believe the Republican establishment is as big a problem as the Democratic establishment in terms of political establishments, and then each party has certain aspects of good, and I vote based on certain things, because of which I voted against Mr. Obama, and I would vote against him again. Would I vote for Mr. Romney? It's a good question. It's a good question. I haven't worked those things through yet, honestly. But it was clear before Mr. Obama was elected that he supported redefining marriage. It was clear by things he had spoken or written that we have on record. So to say where he stands, I don't trust it. I'm simply saying I don't trust it. His actions speak louder than words. When he speaks at the Human Rights Campaign, the annual fundraiser for the largest gay activist organization in the world with a budget of $45 million, just fighting this one issue, When he makes clear that he wants to see an America where a man says to his daughter, I love you and I love your wife, his daughter's wife, he's made clear where he stands, very clear. So Joe Biden, what he's saying is simply to me what the administration believes, regardless of what it says, that views are evolving. I'm sorry to say it. I do not believe our president. Do I believe politicians don't tell the truth? Republicans, Democrats? Yes. Some do, some don't. Some are mixed. I'm sure they're all mixed on some level. Former President Bill Clinton, this is May 5th, today came out publicly against North Carolina's marriage amendment, Amendment 1, which would ban same-sex marriage in the state's constitution. Again, the reason we're putting it in the constitution, is so no activist judge can overturn it. And this also sends a message of encouragement to the nation. And it also sends a message saying, hey, we're not all being influenced by Will and Grace. We're not all being influenced by media propaganda. We still understand that marriage is not simply just a matter of who you love. Since when has marriage just been defined as a matter of who you love? And what do we tell the polyamorous people that say we love multiple people? What do you tell the people who say we're wired to be polyamorous? What do you tell the people who have what's called genetic sexual attraction, that they meet a family member, say a brother and sister separated at birth, and they meet 20 years later and fall in love, genetic sexual attraction, that they are drawn to each other because of a genetic connection? What do we tell them? You can't marry the one you love? Marriage has never been defined as just be with the one you love, and that's all that it's about. There are other things. That's why the government's involved. Why else is the government involved with marriage? Who gives the government the right to get involved in our private relations? Marriage is about bringing a man and woman together in a stable relationship, in the goal, in the vast majority of the cases, to produce offspring and to join those kids with a mom and dad. That's of social benefit to the nation. That's why the nation gets involved. Yeah, when Reverend Billy Graham just says God's defined marriage clearly in the Word. Yeah, it's clearly in the Word. Quite clearly. Anybody, please. Anybody. Anybody listening. Call a friend who's a gay activist. Call a straight ally. Anybody, tell me where the Bible defines marriage as two men or two women and doesn't clearly say God's intent at the beginning. Jesus says God created male and female, and the two together become one. And to those, he says, be fruitful and multiply. The activist says, it's Christian Sharia and Christian supremacists. No, it's simply saying don't redefine marriage and don't make marriage genderless and don't try to take away our ability to teach our kids about what marriage really says. So Bill Clinton, in a pre-recorded robocall, hello, this is President Bill Clinton. I'm calling to urge you to vote against Amendment 1 on Tuesday, May 8th. If it passes, it won't change North Carolina's law on marriage. What it will change is North Carolina's ability to keep good businesses, attract new jobs, and attract and keep talented entrepreneurs. If it passes, your ability to keep those businesses, get those jobs, and get those talented entrepreneurs will be weakened. Oh, come on. What kind of nonsense is this, with all respect to former President Clinton? What kind of nonsense is this? There are 30 states that have voted, 30 out of 30, and everyone has voted and said marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Come on. How? You're going to lose all your business. And the big banks like Wells Fargo and Bank of America that set the policy they want to set and have had same-sex benefits and stuff for years, they're now going to change because of this. Right. And that's why. That's why, friends. The attacks against this amendment are so bizarre and so off because the issues are so clear. Remember, May 8th, day to vote. This is not a political issue to me. If it was a political issue, I wouldn't be harping on it. I want to guarantee you, those of you who are new to this broadcast, as we get closer to the November elections, I'm not going to be telling you, vote for this one, vote for this one, watch out, and singing the praises of one party or another. That's not going to happen. That's not who I am. This is a kingdom issue. Oh, and who we vote for has kingdom implications. But this is on a different level. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to read something to you in a moment from about a 16-year-old who went to take a stand in her school and what happened as a result of that. And we are on the air to be a voice. We are on the air to be a voice for many of you. Let me go to the phones quickly, though. Latasha in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
And I'm just like, what is wrong with, well, I know what's wrong with it. It's nonsense. It says clearly, I'm talking about this, that pastor that came on yesterday and said, my phone's about to die. Shoot. He said, try to defend gay marriages. And in the Bible, there's no scripture in there that says anything at all. If anything, it says that, I think it's in Matthew, men who lie with men will not inherit the kingdom.
Yeah, that's in 1 Corinthians 6.
Along with that, I read along that line. So I'm like, yeah. I don't understand what pastor could say that. And first of all these gay marriages, they want all these rights. Just whatever you want to leave your partner, if you choose to be that way, write it down on a piece of paper.
Write it down, yeah. And Latasha, I just got to jump in. I got to jump in because of a break. But yeah, you want hospital visitation? I'm not arguing that. Fine. Whoever you are, you want someone to be able to visit you as your designated friend, partner? Fine. Hospitals are going to cross the nation are going to accept that. Where do pastors come away redefining what the Bible says? Ah, Latasha, we know better. We know better. God help us. Give us strength
to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I want to get to as many calls as possible. And this story from Facebook, I asked a mom for more details. Her daughter, then 16, decided to start a Facebook event called God's Original Plan for Support of Heterosexual Marriage. And boy, things went berserk against her, even some people saying if they knew where she lived, they'd kill her. But I think I'm going to talk about this on Wednesday so I can do it justice and we can show solidarity with this young lady and so I can take your calls as well. Ed in Charlotte, we're a little short on time, but please dive right in, sir.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think it's really sad, since I've been a Democrat all my life, that the Democratic Party is willing to pander and get on the wrong side of an issue a lot like this. An absurd thing to say that two men or two women can't get married. It shows just exactly where we are as a nation. But the other thing I want to say is that those people who pretend that they value Christian values on the Republican side is still willing to go out and vote for Mitch Romney, who's not a Christian at all.
Yes, sir.
And I don't see you or anybody else on that side standing up to tell that side of the story.
Yeah, well, let me say this very quickly, Ed. Actually, a few minutes ago, I said I don't know that I could vote for Mitt Romney. But my biggest issues, most people claim to be Christians. As a Mormon, he would claim to be a Christian. Mr. Obama claimed to be a Christian. I really want to look at how they have legislated and voted and stood on these key issues to me. So, there are a whole lot of people on the Republican side that are bashing Romney because of the issues. I don't feel it's as fair to make his own religious beliefs the issue. It's the way he's led things. But Ed, I want to say this. There's hypocrisy and inconsistency in both parties. And to the extent we align ourselves primarily with a party, you better believe, man, we're going to be disappointed. And we've got to stand for what's right, regardless of the party, regardless of the leader. But there are a lot of people very, very suspicious about Mitt Romney that are not enthusiastic about voting for him. But, Ed, thank you for the call. May the Lord give you grace and wisdom to stand for what is right in the coming days. Thanks for calling, sir. All right. I wish I had more time to talk about that issue. Dave in Tampa, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, I was a supporter of Bill Clinton. He put in that Marriage Defensive Act when he was president, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, DOMA. Yes, yeah. He did.
Okay.
Defensive Marriage Act.
So as a lifelong Democrat myself, as the last caller just said, they've been playing a game with me. I mean, I'm a union man. I just retired recently, but I'm a union man for life, and I've always voted Democrat, and I'm proud of it. But I don't know if I'm proud of it anymore because they're playing a game with us, aren't they? And what is the game? I mean, I saw Bill Clinton always walking out of church with a big Bible in his hand and his wife right behind him or right aside of him. And then I heard...
Yeah, and let me just...
Go ahead.
Excuse me, let me just jump in, only because time is real short, and I want to get to a few more callers. But Dave... my dad was a lifelong Democrat, and was part of the Democratic Party. And I was for Jimmy Carter coming in. I thought Christian Jimmy Carter, that's when I started to realize that Christianity didn't mean the same thing. I believe a lot of these people believe in their heart that they're Christians and they're doing the right thing. But a lot of them are also politicians, and a lot of them are also going to be duplicitous or feel, okay, what's the public poll? Bill Clinton wanted to change gays in the military and then came up with don't ask, don't tell as kind of a compromise because it got very volatile. So, yeah, major, major questions, sir. And on this issue, the issue of marriage, yes, there's been a serious betrayal in the Democratic Party, no question. And there's still a lot of compromise in the Republican Party over this issue. All right, Tyrone in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing, Mr. Brown?
Good, Tyrone. Thank you.
I feel like America has turned its back on God because what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, he can do to America. And are we ready for that? That's somewhat of a question.
Yeah, well, Tyrone, the fact of the matter is, we have really, for decades now, rejected God in many, many ways, in our sexual morality, in our families, in many, many different ways, in the sanctity of life and justice issues across the board. It crosses political parties. It crosses race, ethnicity, gender, religion. It is a fundamental rejection of God and his values. And Tyrone, even with great repentance, I still believe because we have sown so much ugliness and violence and immorality and idolatry that we will be judged, that we are being judged, and that we will be shaken. My hope, sir, is that out of that, there can be a great turning to God and revival. Friends, we have a very important, wonderful resource that I'm excited to talk to you about. And I believe that you know we're playing an important role on the air here. That, I mean, it gives me a sense of holy responsibility, sacred responsibility before the Lord, as well as great, great joy that I can be a voice for many of you, that when you need something articulated and spoken out, that we can stand up for what's right and open the word and speak the truth in love. I know the responsibility and the door of opportunity the Lord set before us, and I'm absolutely committed to this with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. My whole travel schedule, ministry schedule revolves around putting radio first so we can be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is tremendously important. By God's grace, will touch many, many lives across the nation. But it's a serious big book. It's 700 pages with 1,500 endnotes. People for years, since it's been out, now have said, hey, in the 15 months or so, what can we do to get out a smaller condensed version? Well, a wonderful ministry we work with put this together with my oversight and approval. It's a 64-page mini-book called The Stealth Agenda, a 64-page mini-book which takes some of the key chapters in my book and excerpts them, all my words, all my writing, so that now you have the perfect tool to give to someone, and as they read it, it'll be one of those, oh my God, experiences. I had no idea. You can't buy it right now, but your gift of any size to stand with us. And friends, we really do need your help. We're on the front lines and we are under some level of monetary pressure as we continue to move this broadcast forth across the nation. But we're trusting God that he who began the good work will bring it to completion in this regard as well. So your gift of any size, some of you say, I've got almost nothing. Don't worry about it. We will joyfully send this out to you postage paid for your gift of any size. Some can be very generous. And it's just like buying a candy bar for you because of the funds God's entrusted with you. Be generous. Stand with us. Some can become monthly supporters. We'll send this to you as well with an additional gift if you become a monthly torchbearer today. So your gift of any size, we'll send you this, a stealth agenda. Call right now. Would you do that? It would encourage our whole team a lot. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. This is listener sponsored, so that means every one of you that calls with your gift, large or small, you are infusing life and strength into us to run this battle with all the more courage and strength as we are standing together. My bottom line, don't be moved, don't be shaken by apostasy, by compromise, by all kinds of ungodly things in the government, in the society. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord, and the righteous will never be shaken.